But after the end, we will see each other again, Diedrich told him. Perhaps, the crinkle allowed. He placed his flask carefully upon the shelf, then walked outside. Diedrich followed, and found him balanced upon the outcropping where he liked to perch. Diedrich lowered himself to the grass beside him. His legs complained, and he rubbed his calf. Below them the shadows were long from the setting sun, and the eastern sky had deepened already to cobalt. Hans extended his left arm. Wolf, he said. Diedrich followed the gesture to the weed-choked autumn field, where Ulf stood with his arms outstretched. His shadow ran like a knight's lance across the furrows, broken by the irregularity of the plants and the ground. He makes the sign of the crucified. Hans flapped his lips. Perhaps he does. The hair from the sky is often whimsical. But see how he shows his neck to the sky. He invites the swooper to take him. This is an old rite practiced among Ulf's folk on their far island in the eastern Sea of Storms. Gottfried's folk and mine alike thought them foolish and vain, and Shepherd's folk tried to suppress them. Indeed, the rite has long passed out of use, even on the Great Isle, but in times of peril a man may turn to the ways of his forefathers and stand exposed in an open field. Hans unfolded from his perch, staggered, and nearly fell from the rock. Diedrich seized him by the arm, pulling him to safety. Hans laughed. Wah! There is an ignoble end. Better to be taken by Ulf's swooper than a clumsy tumble. Though I would prefer a quiet death in my sleep. Ah, what is this? One of Manfred's loosed falcons had come to rest on Ulf's outstretched arm. The bird sheared, and Diedrich and Hans heard its distant cry, but when Ulf did not provide the expected morsel, the bird spread its wings and soared into the sky once more, where it circled thrice before departing. Hans fell to a sudden squat and hugged his knees, his side jaws agape. In the far field, Ulf leapt into the air in the manner of crankish dance. Diedrich looked from one to the other in bewilderment. Hans stood erect and brushed absently from his leather hose the grass and dirt. Ulf, we'll take our baptism now, he said. The swooper has spared him. And if it can show mercy, why not swear fealty to the very hair of mercy?
Pastor! Pastor!
It was little Etiulf who had taken to following Klaus about and calling him Daddy.
Men! On the Oberide Road!
It was the day after Ulf's baptism, and Diedrich had been digging graves atop Church Hill with Klaus, Joachim, and a few other men. They joined the boy at the crest, and Klaus fetched him up in his arms. Perhaps they bring word that the pest has gone, the miller said. Diedrich shook his head. The pest would never go. By his cloak it is the Markgraf's herald and a chaplain. Perhaps the bishop has sent a replacement for Father Rudolf. It'd be a fool to come here, Diedrich suggested. Or overjoyed to leave Strasbourg, Diedrich reminded him.
We do not need him here in any case, said Joachim.
But Diedrich had taken only a few steps down the hillside when the herald's horse reared and nearly overthrew him. The rider fought the reins as the terrified beast pawed the air and whinnied. A few paces behind him, the chaplain found his mount also fractious. Ah, said Gregor under his breath, that's done it. The two riders retreated into the pass between the hills before the herald wheeled his horse and, standing in the stirrups, tossed his right arm in what Diedrich mistook for the crankish gesture of dismissal. Then the shoulder of the hill cut them off from sight, and only a dust haze lingered to show where they had been. They found Hans in the open space between the smithy and Gregor's stone yard, gazing down the high road toward Oberide. I thought to warn them off, he said, swaying slightly. I had forgotten that I was not one of you. They saw me, and... It was Klaus, of all people, who placed his hand on the crinkle's shoulder and said, But you are one of us, Brother Munster. Gottfried stepped from the shadows of the clinic. What matter if they saw? What can they do but release us from this? The one in the fancy cloak threw something in the dirt. Gregor trotted down the road to retrieve it. Hans said, It sorrows me to betray you, Diedrich. By us is motionlessness hard to see. I forgot myself and stilled. Habit, forgive me.
And so saying, he collapsed into the dust of the crossroads. Klaus and Luther Hotzacker carried the twitching body into the hospital and laid it on a pallet there. Gottfried, Beatke, and the other surviving Krinklin gathered round him.
He was sharing his portion with us, Gottfried said. I did not learn of it until yesterday.
Dietrich stared at him. He sacrificed himself, as the alchemist did?
Wah, wah. Not as the alchemist did. Arnold thought the extra time would gain us the repairs. Well, he was not a man of the electronicos, and who is to say he was wrong to hope? But Hans acted not from carnal hope, but from love of us who served him.
Gregor had come up with a parchment bound up in string. He handed it to Dietrich.
This is what the herald dropped.
Dietrich untied the string.
How long, he asked Gottfried.
The servant of the electronic essence shrugged his shoulders as a man might. Who can say? Heloise went to the sky in but a few days. The Kratzer lingered for weeks. It is as with your pest.
How reads the bill? Joachim asked, and Dietrich pulled his spectacles from his script.
If there be no priest among us, he announced when he had finished, laymen are authorized to hear one another's confessions.
He raised his head. A miracle.
What miracle? Said Klaus. That I should confess my sins to the mason here? That would be a miracle.
Nah, Klaus, said Luther. I've heard you confess after a couple of steins of Walpurgis brew in you.
Archdeacon Jarlsberg writes that there are no more priests to send.
A miracle indeed, said Klaus.
Half the benefices in the diocese are vacant, because their priests did not run off like Father Rudolph. They stayed with their flocks and died.
Like you, said Klaus.
And Dietrich laughed a little at the comment.
Gregor frowned. Pastor isn't dead. He isn't even sick.
Nor you, nor I, said Klaus. Not yet.
Dietrich sat by Hans's pallet all day and slept there at night. They spoke of many things, he and the monster. Whether a vacuum existed. How there could be more than one world, since each would try to rush toward the center of the other. Whether the sky was a dome or a vast empty sea. Whether Master Peter's magnets could make a machine that would never stop, as he had claimed. All those matters of philosophy that had so delighted Hans in happier days. They spoke, too, of the Kratzer, and Dietrich was convinced more than ever that if love had any meaning in the hidden hearts of the Krenkel, that Hans and the Kratzer had loved one another. In the morning the portcullis of the castle opened with a clatter of chains, and Rikard the Schultheiss, with Winifred the clerk and a few others, galloped furiously down Castle Hill and out the Bear Valley Road. Soon thereafter a bell in the castle chapel tolled once. Dietrich waited and waited, but there came no second stroke. That afternoon the villagers held an irregular court under the linden, and Dietrich asked the gathering which of them Ulf had found free of the small lives. About half raised their hands, and Dietrich noted that they sat for the most part at a distance from their neighbors. "You must leave, Oberhochwald," he said. "If you stay, the small lives will invade you as well. Take also those whose fever has broken. When the pest has gone, you may return and set things aright once more."
"I'll not return," cried Jutta Feldman. "This place is accursed, a place of demons and sorcery."
There were mutters of approval, but some, like Gregor and Klaus, shook their heads, and Melchior Metzger, grown suddenly old, sat on the grass with a grim look on his face.
"But where should we go?" asked Jacob Becker. "The pest lies all about us, in the Swiss, so also in Vienna, in Freiburg, in Munich, in—"
Dietrich stopped him before he could enumerate the whole world. "Go south and east, into the foothills," he said. "Shun all towns and villages. Build shelters in the forest. Keep fires burning and stay near the fires. Take flour or meal so you will have bread. Joachim, you will go with them." The young monk stared at him open-mouthed.
"What do I know of the forest?"
"Luther Holzacker knows the forests, and Gerlach Jaeger has ranged about hunting deer and wolves.
Jaeger, who had been hunkering down a little to the side of the group, whittling on a limb, looked up and spat.
By myself,
he said, and resumed whittling. Everyone looked at everyone else. Those whose blood harbored the small lives, but who had not yet fallen ill, hung their heads, and a few stood and walked off. Gregor Maurer shrugged and looked at Klaus, who tossed his arm crankishly.
If Atjulf is hale, he suggested.